The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I never thought that I'd really want to eat at a convenience store. I've done it before, but I think Otto is going to change all of our minds. Good morning. Oh. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Okay, so convenience store food, I have partaken usually late at night after,
after
a lounge night or a club night or something. But you said you've got something big in food news.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try this new egg salad sandwich they have at 7-Eleven. Yes, an egg salad sandwich at 7-Eleven is going to be the craze because I guess it was really big. It's really big in Japan. People love it.
Oh, you're talking about the Japanese egg salad sandwich that trends on Instagram and TikTok? Yeah.
So they finally brought it here to the United States.
You know what that fluffy egg sandwich? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what it is, and I'm familiar with the gas station trends in Japan are way different than the gas stations we have
here. Yeah, they take their food serious there.
So go ahead and knock yourself out with that American gas station egg salad sandwich.
They said it's going to be the exact same formula and the exact same thing they get in Japan.
Otto, I believe you. I absolutely believe you. Anthony, you're not down to try it?
No, egg salad is sketch to begin with. And now you're going to do... Yo, you know what? If somebody walks into the house and says, I just got done eating the gas station egg salad.
Okay, you know why you're sick and I don't get sick? Because I eat anything. I will go in. I have built my immune system. Do you know how many times I've walked into a 7-Eleven, opened a giant bag of Doritos, poured the, well, they call it chili. I'm not sure what it is. You squeeze it out of that big thing, and you put the chili all over the Doritos, and then you take the cheese, the gooey cheese, and you put that, and then you grab your jalapenos, and you just take all of it with juice and everything, and you flop it on there. Honey, you'll never get sick again for the rest of your life.
Honey, listen, I love gas station food and gas station processed food specifically. That's where they shine. But you're going to give me
those
fresh,
hot dogs, right?
Yeah, fresh egg salad? I don't know.
I'm going to try it, and I'm going to have to report back here.
I'm down to try it, too. All right, what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
The first Friday of December is Faux Fur Day.
Oh, I love me a good faux fur. I do have real fur, but I didn't buy it. Somebody gave it to me, okay? And I'm totally against it. Now that I know how they treat these animals, it's just not good.
Are you willing to get rid of it?
No. Oh. It's over. What's done is done. But the faux fur nowadays looks like real fur. So why hurt an animal?
Shout out to Flo Rida for the boots with the fur.
Yeah.
That's the only really kind of thing I know about
boots
it.
Boots with the fur.
And we'll wrap it up on National Bartender Appreciation Day.
Tis the season. The bartenders are working hard. All the holiday parties and everything. New Year's Eve is coming up. Tip your bartenders. I did that job for a long time. It's a tough one.
I just gave a bartender an extra tip to make it look like we were drinking.
That was right. So Otto and I went to the company party and everybody's drinking and you know the pressure. Oh, come on, have a drink. He made my Shirley Temple look like it was a real drink and he made Otto's tonic water.
Tonic with lime. Nobody questioned it.
Nobody questioned it.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The worst thing ever in a partner is one who doesn't support you. Man. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be weight loss, which I went through. It could be your job. It could be a hobby. It could be your family. Whatever it is, if you don't have that support from the person you're with,
it's going to be hard to stay together.
You feel defeated. Yes, Otto. I was unhappy in a relationship in the past, obviously way before Otto and I were married, and I gained a lot of weight, 60 plus pounds. You met me when I was my heaviest.
I remember.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
I remember.
No, I heard that.
I saw past the weight, though, Dana.
No, you didn't. You said, man, if Dana would lose weight, she'd be hot. You told one of our coworkers that. That's what you said.
Was I lying?
That's not the point. Okay, anyway, this person didn't support me, and I was trying to lose weight, and he would, instead of encourage me, he would kind of make fun of me the way I worked out, or because I'm not a knowledgeable person when it comes to that. No. I don't go to the gym and know exactly what to do. I go to feel good about myself. I go to get a workout in. It took me a while to lose the weight, and then I finally realized I need to be with somebody who supports me. And the reason I'm gaining weight is because I'm not happy in this relationship anyway.
Yeah.
Seriously, I was eating to console myself. It was the only thing that made me happy, food.
It was comfort eating.
Comfort eating, and I did a lot of it. Yeah. You know, I didn't feel good anymore. I kept buying bigger and bigger pants. I couldn't sleep. I didn't dress up. It was awful.
I think you see a lot of people go through that when they're having moments of where they're just unhappy.
And I think so, too.
And that food gives them that comfort and that makes them feel like, I don't know. I know it does it for me, and I'm a comfort eater.
And I'm going to admit something, Otto, right now. I used to say, I don't care. I don't care that I'm this heavy. I don't care. Remember, we'd have those company meetings. This is way before Otto and I were together. We were friends. and I would eat ridiculous amounts of food.
Dana put down a box of donuts one time in front of me.
It was only half a dozen.
And I was like, man, this woman is miserable.
And I was.
Yeah.
But I would say out loud, I don't care. I don't care what I look like.
And every time you would say that, I would know that you were, I was like, oh, she's dying inside.
It was a lie. It was. Our down in the DM today, I really feel badly for Robert. Because when Chantel contacted me, I thought, who is this guy seeing? Like, is he seeing somebody at the gym? It turns out he's just trying to work out. And he doesn't even feel comfortable confiding in her. And it did not go down in the DM.
Why didn't you tell us anything about this?
Because first of all, this whole thing is crazy. Second, I have to keep my meal prep a secret because you're rude as f- every time I bring it up.
Ooh. Oh,
really? What are you talking about?
You call them big boy Lunchables. Tell me I need to learn how to cook for myself. I'm trying to lose weight, Chantel.
I can't believe that he can't even talk to her because she makes fun of him, makes jokes. Here's my thing.
It says more about her than him.
It does, though. Otto, for sure. And I don't want this to come off the wrong way at all. Because each person has to find their own health journey, right? You have to start your journey on your own. But I do remember when I started losing weight, I had certain people around me who would say, oh, you think you're better now. Oh, you weren't even that big. You weren't even that big. And I wasn't that big. But I was to the point that I couldn't sleep.
They're just expressing all their jealousy and insecurities, though. And that's I think when you're in the moment, it's hard to see it that way. But from
it made me feel
in,
so bad, Otto. Yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to get healthy. I can't sleep. My coworker, we were at an appearance, and I was dressed, you know, in basically pajamas because none of my clothes fit anymore. And he pulled me aside, and he was like, "What are you doing? Like, what's wrong? I love you. What's wrong?" I broke down. Mm. And Otto, when you gained a lot of weight, you know, because we said we're going to talk about this. You said you're going to be real. I never said a word to you because I don't think I noticed. We went to get...
Well, you saw me every day, whereas I hadn't seen my brothers for, I don't know, at that point, probably 6 months.
But you knew because we went to go get my checkup. I was about to have our baby, and I had gained 17...
And I swore that scale was lying to me.
I gained 17 pounds. How many had you gained?
Like 40-some at that point.
48.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we went to the baby shower, and your brothers were like...
Dude... My brother Matt was like, you are large and in charge.
And guess what? We supported one another. It took you 2 years to take that weight off. You know, because you did it naturally. You did it naturally.
Even when we got married, I was still kind of heavy.
All our wedding pictures, yes.
Yeah, I was still like probably 220.
Yeah, because I gained a total of 19 pounds when we were pregnant, when I was pregnant with our daughter, Ava Maddock, and Otto gained 48 total. Yeah, but
you love saying that, don't you?
Well, here's the thing, because I didn't notice and I supported you. I never put you down.
No, you didn't.
We went to the gym together. We did it as a team.
In all reality, you probably should have checked me.
No, I would never have done that. We went for walks every day. Remember, we did it as a team.
No, like you said, it was a process. It took a long time to take that weight off.
You have to support your person. It could be weight loss. It could be work. It could be anything. Family and friends and your partner. If they're not, you know, being positive about whatever your journey is, I think you have to limit yourself. You have to keep them at arm's length. Am I wrong?
Well, there is such thing as tough love, though, too.
877-730-DCS1. Call now, and let's talk about it when we come back.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Shouldn't your person, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your best friend support you in your journey, whether it's weight loss, which I was on that journey and I did not have that support, or, you know, a job situation, whatever it is, you should have the support. And if not, I don't know that it's going to work out. Even family, sometimes I'm not saying you cut family off, but you can love them from afar, from a distance.
That part.
You know, all right, Jim, Crystal on line one. Hi, Crystal. Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. How are you?
Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Morning. Doing well. So what are your thoughts about this whole situation?
Girl, look, I was 100 plus overweight. And
oh my gosh.
I lost mine. Mm-hmm. My husband did not support me, but then the shoe's on the other foot. Now he's miserable. Mm. And I tell him all the time, I support you, even though you didn't support me during mine.
How did he not support you? What was he doing that was unsupportive?
Look, he would literally push me and trying to get me to eat. You know, told everybody, oh, she's starving herself, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada.
And it was just because you were making healthier choices versus eating a bunch and eating junk, correct?
And obviously, he was insecure exactly. about the relationship because he thought if she got smaller and hotter that she might leave him.
Well, now he says, I got to get little. I got to lose the weight because my wife looks good and I don't.
There you go.
I also think that there's the fear because I didn't think about what Otto was saying when I was getting that pushback from people. There's a fear that they're going to think different, or you're going to think differently of them, because maybe right. they're not as healthy. Some of my best friends who were a little bit bigger would make fun of me. I hate to say that, but I mean, it sounds ugly. But the best friend who pulled me aside and said, hey, what's wrong with you? Because I looked sloppy when I started losing weight. He started saying, oh, girl, you think you're so good now. Oh, you think you're too good. And he would eat in front of me. Like you said, he would pull out all the things we used to eat and he would just, this is so good. And I'd be like, okay. I watched that happen.
And you saw it happen. And I would think, why is he doing? I mean, I knew why he was doing it. It was because he was jealous of the fact that you were losing weight and he was still really, really big.
And later on, he ended up taking his journey and now he's healthy.
Yeah. That's where my husband's at right now. Like, he's trying to do the same thing. And I tell him all the time, you know, I can't eat that. What do you mean you can't eat it? You can eat it. You just won't eat it. I'm like, no, you don't understand. When you go from that way and eating all the bad food to eating the good food, you try to eat the bad food and it ain't happening.
You don't feel good. Also, Crystal, no. Do you ever look in the mirror or put clothes on and still feel your old size?
Yes.
Oh, what is that? Because I know I look, I know I'm not where I used to be. I know I'm not 65 or 60 whatever pounds heavier, but there are days that I still feel super heavy, even though I know I'm not. It's hard.
It's your mental wellness. That's what's bad. But what a lot of people don't realize is because my whole life I fought the weight, but once you lose that weight and you get to a comfortable zone, even gaining 1 pound will literally mentally mess with you.
Crystal, right now I'm about 5 pounds off and I'm driving myself crazy, like something's wrong with me. I'm so scared.
Don't feel lonely.
Okay, good.
Don't feel lonely. I'm the same way. I wasn't even going to call in and I was like, you know what? They're hitting this right on the head. And like, my husband's out of town right now.
Yeah.
So when he's out of town, like, I eat real good. I eat real healthy.
Yeah.
So when he's in town, he's always, let's go get a burger. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, dude, you're never going to get to that point if you don't get rid of all the bad habits.
Yes, the bad habits.
He was like, well, I'm not going to starve myself. I said, you don't starve yourself. You mentally have to put it in your head that you're not going to do this.
Isn't it crazy that we've come to this place in our lives here where we think eating good food is starving yourself and eating junk food is treating yourself? It's totally the other way around. We should be filling our temples with good food.
Have you realized how much more money you spend trying to eat good versus eating bad?
So I'll tell you, and I think we should make this a topic come the new year. You know how everybody's, seriously, our promise is to get healthy and everything. I've learned to cook healthy food on a budget, even like good Mexican food. It's healthy and you cannot tell the difference. Ask Otto.
You can't.
Swear.
But I think that has a lot to do with your culinary skill. And that what she's talking about, though, is that if you're
you go get a burger. No, you're right. You get a 99-cent burger. You try to make that at home, make something healthy. It's going to cost you $3. No, I get it. I get it. She's right. We should do this show. Crystal, I'm gonna call you. We're going to do this show in January.
Y'all make my day. Like,
I love you.
Y'all hit so many notes on the head with me. It's not even funny. So.
Crystal, same. I love you. Thank you so much for calling
in. Congratulations on all the weight
on
loss.
That incredible weight loss, over 100
Thank
pounds.
Y'all.
I'll talk to you in January. Let's do this show, okay? Love you. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye. Love you.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
This is quite possibly one of the craziest what stories we've ever told. A couple on a Qatar Airways flight flying from Melbourne, Australia to Venice, Italy, were forced to sit next to a deceased body.
A corpse.
It's very sad and disturbing. Mitchell Ring and his wife, Jennifer Collin, they're on their way right on vacaciones. They're going to vacay. And then this happens.
Well, the staff were there in no time. They did a wonderful job trying to revive her. They did everything they could, but unfortunately, the lady couldn't be saved, which was pretty heartbreaking to watch.
Well, that is traumatic. And then it gets even worse. The couple talked to a current affair in Australia and explained how this woman ended up being seated next to the husband, Mitchell.
And they tried to wheel her up towards business class, but she was quite a large lady and they couldn't get her through the aisle. And then they just looked at me and saw seats were available beside me. My wife was on the other side. And they just said to me, can you move over, please? And I just said, yes, no problem. And then they placed the lady in the chair that I was in.
And he got to sit there for 4 hours next to a deceased woman. They at least covered her with a blanket. Here's my thing. Is there nobody with a brain working for Qatar Airline? You could do not a million, but I could think of 3 off top, and I'm not even a flight attendant. Number one, there's empty seats other places. Rearrange passengers, put the woman by herself. Number two, how about flight attendants say, We'll put her in a jump seat. We'll sit next to you, Mitchell, so that you don't have to sit next to this poor woman who just passed away. Number three, they had some kind of contraption. Put it in an area of the plane where passengers don't have to be
next to a dead body.
I am so, like, I'm not even, I didn't have to even go through this. And it's unbelievable to me. And he's just expected to sit there the whole flight and not be upset. He's a nicer person than me. I wouldn't have said yes. I would have been like, hey, let's rearrange some seating here. Let's do something so that the woman can be respected. Her body can be respected. But my living body can also be respected.
The flight attendants might have been in shock along with everybody else. That's the only like reasonable explanation for this.
Here's my thing. I think that they deserve, I don't know, a few milli and free flights on another airline for the rest of their lives.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
'Tis a season of giving, and artists like Usher, Big Sean, and even Metallica are doing it. We're going to give you some details after famous people's birthdays, Anthony A.
Frank West, Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle, and Walt Disney was born on this day in 1901.
Wow. All right, so Usher and Big Sean just made a $1 million investment into the Boys and Girls Club of Southeastern Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's so incredible. I worked for the Boys and Girls Clubs in West Texas for years, and the kind of change that it made to children in the community was incredible. And I got to play Connect Four. I used to go in there and play with the kids all the time. And I used to raise money, too. I was the receptionist. I would answer the phones. But they would have board meetings all the time, and I would be privileged to listen to what they were talking about, and I would take notes. And so I was like, well, I can raise money, too. I outraised all the board members one year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they do a stake in...
Big Sean needs to bring you on.
Right, he should.
Raise some money for Detroit.
Well, I always understood how important the clubs was, because I came from humble beginnings, and it gave kids a place to go, a place to play, a place to...
I spent a lot of time at the Boys and Girls Club as a kid, and I loved it.
It's
there.
So fun,
shout out to what they do, and then also the YMCA as well, too. And
yeah.
Big Sean, I've known him...
City programs real quick, too.
I've known Big Sean from the beginning, before his first album, and he's always, as long as he's had the resources, giving back to his community.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Now, you were talking about Metallica. What are they doing?
Metallica also has a program where they help give scholarships to trade schools.
And community colleges.
Yes, and community colleges, too, specifically in any type of manual labor or anything like that you want to get into.
Blue collar.
And I think they've raised over like $10 million. So, yeah.
They've given away $10 million. That's crazy.
I just got chills when you said that. So, for me, when I think about that, I know kids are, you know, you're thinking about college and young adults and thinking about, what do I want to be? Right now, I see plumbers and electricians and contractors begging for people to enter into these jobs because they can't find workers. And these people are making a lot of money. Some are coming out with six figures.
Especially during the holiday season with the plumbers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. HVAC, people to work on ACs and heaters will always be in demand.
Plumbers
will always be in demand. Electricians will always be in demand.
I saw that their average salary has almost doubled.
It has, because for every 10 retiring, 2 are coming into the field. So that means more demand, which you can hike them salaries, you know, hike your prices. All right, so now that we've plugged that enough, I mean it.
I'm going to find,
I'm going to find all the details on the Metallica thing. Hit me up at Dana Cortez on Instagram, and I will send you links on how you could possibly apply for one of these scholarships.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.